Chapter 5
Sorry!
My voice echoed through the long, curving tunnel. No reply. I called again and listened to my voice fading as the echo repeated her name again and again. At first, I was angry. I knew what Sari was doing. She was deliberately not answering, deliberately trying to frighten me. She had to prove that she was the brave one, and I was the fraidy cat. I suddenly remembered another time a few years before. Sari and Uncle Ben had come to my house for a visit. I think Sari and I were 7 or 8. We went outside to play. It was a gray day, threatening rain. Sari had a jump rope and was showing off as usual, showing me how good she was at it. Then, of course, when she let me try it, I tripped and fell, and she laughed like crazy. I'd decided to get back at her by taking her to this deserted old house a couple blocks up the street. The kids in the neighborhood all believed the house was haunted. It was a neat place to sneak in and explore, although our parents were always warning us to stay away from it because it was falling apart and dangerous. So I led Sari to this house and told her it was haunted, and we sneaked in through the broken basement window. It got even darker out and started to rain. It was perfect. I could tell Sari was really scared to be alone in the creepy old house. I, of course, wasn't scared at all because I'd been there before. Well, we started exploring, with me leading the way, and somehow we got separated, and it started thundering and lightning outside. There was rain pouring in through the broken windows. I decided maybe we should go home, so I called to Sari. No answer. I called again. Still no answer. Then I heard a loud crash. Calling her name, I started running from room to room. I was scared to death. I was sure something terrible had happened. I ran through every room in the house, getting more and more scared. I couldn't find her. I shouted and shouted, but she didn't answer me. I was so scared, I started to cry. Then I totally panicked, and I ran out of the house and into the pouring rain. I ran through the thunder and lightning, crying all the way home. By the time I got home, I was soaked through and through. I ran into the kitchen, sobbing and crying that I'd lost Sari in the haunted house. And there she was, sitting at the kitchen table, comfortable and dry, eating a big slice of chocolate cake, a smug smile on her face. And now, peering into the darkness of the pyramid, I knew Sari was doing the same thing to me, trying to scare me, trying to make me look bad. Or was she? As I made my way through the low, narrow tunnel, keeping the light aimed straight ahead, I couldn't help it. My anger quickly turned to worry, and troubling questions whirred through my mind. What if she wasn't playing a mean trick on me? What if something bad had happened to her? What if she had missed a step and fallen into a hole? Or had gotten herself trapped in a hidden tunnel? Or I didn't know what. I wasn't thinking clearly. My sneakers thudded loudly over the sandy floor as I started to half walk, half jog through the winding tunnel.
Sari!
I called, frantically now, not caring whether I sounded frightened or not. Where was she? She wasn't that far ahead of me. I should at least be able to see the light from her flashlight, I thought.
Sari?
There was no place for her to hide in this narrow space. Was I following the wrong tunnel? No. I had been in the same tunnel all along. the same tunnel I had watched her disappear in.
Don't say disappear, I scolded myself. Don't even think the word.
Suddenly, the narrow tunnel ended. A small opening led into a small square room. I flashed the light quickly from side to side.
Sorry?
No sign of her. The walls were bare. The air was warm and stale. I moved the flashlight rapidly across the floor, looking for Sari's footprints. The floor was harder, less sandy here. There were no footprints.
Oh!
I uttered a low cry when my light came to rest on the object against the far wall. My heart pounding, I eagerly took a few steps closer until I was just a few feet from it.
It was a mummy case.
A large stone mummy case, at least 8 feet long. It was rectangular, with curved corners. The lid was carved. I stepped closer and aimed the light.
Yes, a human face was carved on the lid. The face of a woman.
It looked like a death mask, the kind we'd studied in school. It stared wide-eyed up at the ceiling.
Wow!
I cried aloud. A real mummy case. The carved face on the lid must have been brightly painted at one time, but the color had faded over the centuries. Now the face was gray, as pale as death. Staring at the top of the case, smooth and perfect, I wondered if Uncle Ben had seen it, or if I had made a discovery of my own. Why is it all by itself in this small room? I wondered. And what does it hold inside? I was working up my courage to run my hand over the smooth stone of the lid when I heard the creaking sound and saw the lid start to raise up.
Oh!
A hushed cry escaped my lips. At first I thought that I had imagined it. I didn't move a muscle. I kept the light trained on the lid. The lid lifted a tiny bit more, and I heard a hissing sound come from inside the big coffin, like air escaping a new coffee can when you first open it. Uttering another low cry, I took a step back. The lid raised up another inch. I took another step back and dropped the flashlight. I picked it up with a trembling hand and shined it back onto the mummy case. The lid was now open nearly a foot. I sucked in a deep breath of air and held it. I wanted to run, but my fear was freezing me in place. I wanted to scream, but I knew I wouldn't be able to make a sound. The lid creaked and opened another inch. Another inch. I lowered the flashlight to the opening, the light quivering with my hand. From the dark depths of the ancient coffin, I saw two eyes staring out at me.